Monday morning you show the fight. Good morning, NFL fans. Welcome to another episode of Football Nation's Monday Morning Huddle. I'm your host, Dave Holcomb. We have a really special episode for you today. Our first guest star of the 2014 season, Cooper Allen, who's been a regular on the show the past 2 years, is with us today for the first two segments of our show. And after Cooper leaves, I will have my regular fourth and long segment. But today is Cooper and I talking about Cardinals and Bengals, which was the Sunday night preseason matchup for us this past weekend. And in the second part with Cooper, we're going to get into our playoff predictions, specifically in the NFC this week on this edition of Monday Morning Huddle. Once again, if you want to send us your comments on anything that we have to say today, give us a tweet. DM HOLCOMB or an email holcombmdavid@gmail.com. But we're going to welcome in Cooper Allen, FN. Is your title still senior writer, Coop?
Yep, sure. I think I'm a reporter. Not sure if I'm a senior writer yet.
Okay, so I didn't double check to see if you'd. Right, if you'd gotten the promotion for the game balls or anything like that. So let's get right to analyzing the Arizona Cardinals and the Cincinnati Bengals game. Let's start with the Cardinals, or actually just general synopsis of the game first. Anything in particular stick out to you? I know the Cardinals have had a pretty good preseason so far offensively, and they didn't do too well against the Bengals on Sunday.
A rough start. First team offense struggled to get on the same page. But it's not really something that I'm too worried about. There's a few new faces in that offense, and it'll take a little bit of time to gel. I think they should be good to go for the Monday Night Football opener, where they'll be hosting the Chargers. Another note about the game, just one big thing I noticed was Jay Feely. He missed another field goal. And he's been with Arizona for quite a few years. He's been great for them. He's had some fantastic games over that time. He's a great guy, but I think it's time for them to move on. They need a fresh face in there. Feely's just getting too old. I mean, he's missed a few clutch kicks over the past couple of years. And it sucks that it has to come to this, because he is indeed such a great guy and does so much for the Arizona community. But at the end of the day, football's a business, and he's someone that they are going to have to let go, I think.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the offense. You said it's not that big of a concern that they didn't play well on Sunday against the Bengals. Carson Palmer really didn't look good. He was 7 of 19 throwing, 92 yards, had one interception return for a touchdown, and had a lot of other chances for interceptions that were either just dropped or hit defenders in the hands or in their bodies. And even on plays where receivers were open, particularly at the beginning of the game, Palmer missed some receivers in the end zone wide open. But what do you expect from Palmer this season? Was this just an admiration? Is he going to be ready to go and a pretty good quarterback again this year?
Yeah. I hope that hopefully he's getting all his bad interceptions out of the way early on. In preseason this time, he's been doing the actual season. I know this time last year he struggled a bit. And that's expected when you come into a new system with a new coach and a new team. I believe it was Kurt Warner who said it a few years back, that when he came in Arizona, it took him a year or two to finally get in with the offense and get gelled with some of the receivers. So hopefully that's the same situation with Palmer. I think he'll be much better this this year than he was a year ago. Now he's had a year under his belt with Bruce Arians, Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, etc.
Looking at running back, Rashard Mendenhall retired over the offseason, so it looks like Andre Ellington is going to be the guy. And he, in a small sample size last season, averaged 5.5 yards per carry. Is he ready to be healthy for a full 16-game schedule and take on that full-time basis running back position?
Big fan of Andre Ellington heading into this season. He's a very talented player, and as shown last year, he can do well out of the backfield in both as both a running threat and a receiving threat. They're looking to get him about 25 touches per game, whether it is in the receiving game or in the running game, and I believe that he will be able to do just that. Get a lot of touches in college, and yes, the NFL is a much different game, and he found that out really quickly in his rookie season. But I think he has adjusted to it, and I think he's ready to take on that role.
25 touches sounds really good if you have Ellington on your fantasy team. For those fantasy listeners out there, how do you see Ellington shaping up for fantasy? Will he be a top 10, maybe top 12 running back in the league? I certainly think he could, but I'm a little worried about Jonathan Dwyer maybe stealing some touchdowns from him in goal line situations.
Yeah, that would absolutely be a problem. And I think if you were to take him in the first round, maybe even the second round, that would be something that would scare me, Jonathan Dwyer's goal line touches. But if you're able to nab him in the third, fourth, fifth round, say, it would be a great pick, in my opinion. He should crack the top 10 in the standard leagues, and would be even better in PPR leagues with what he's able to do in the receiving game. And I think the yards that he will put up in the passing game will make up for some of the goal line touches that Dwyer may get.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Ellington is definitely a dual threat with running and catching the ball. Let's go to the defensive side now for the Cardinals. They had a loss in Carlos Dansby going to Cleveland this offseason, the linebacker. And Arizona plays in a division where you have to play good defense. How is that Cardinal defense shaping up this year, and how will they do, or who is filling in for Dansby?
Cleveland was definitely lost over the offseason. I'm not going to turn a blind eye to it. I think Cleveland did overpay for him a little bit, and if Arizona would have outbid Cleveland, it would have been a mistake for him given his age.
Right. I agree.
With that being said, losing him is definitely something that the defense is going to have to adjust to. And it was something that could have been filled with a draft pick, or whether younger players, a free agent signing, something like that. But it's now looking to be a big blow because their other inside linebacker, Darrell Washington, is suspended for the season.
Right.
Yeah, so in terms of replacements, they have brought in a few guys that be looking for some veteran leadership from Larry Foote. And their second-round pick from last year, Kevin Minter out of LSU, he will need to step up this year big time. I believe he could have played in 2013 in his rookie season. However, with Darrell Washington and Carlos Dansby starting, there wasn't much opportunity there for him. But since he's able to learn from the two of them his rookie year, I believe that helped him out tremendously. And hopefully he's ready to go here for the year.
I know we'll discuss NFC playoff predictions in the next segment, but where do you see the Cardinals ending up at the end of this year? Let's give the listeners a sneak preview. Where do you got the Cardinals in the standings?
I have them just making out of the playoffs with a 6th seed. I believe, although their defense may take a slight step back, losing to Anthony Washington and also Darnell Bradford, who tore the ACL last week. I believe their offense will make up for it. They got a few guys, John Brown, Texas Jr., John Carlson, Jared Belfier, the offensive line. And guys like this will make them into a top 15 offensive team, which is something you wouldn't have expected from Arizona, given their performance over the past couple of years.
Flipping to the Bengals side now, real quickly here. They've made three straight playoff appearances, winning the division last year, the tough AFC North. But they lost both their coordinators from last year and during that stretch of three straight playoff appearances. Those coordinators now gone. Hugh Jackson, the offensive coordinator replacement. Paul Gunther is the defensive coordinator. How do you see Cincinnati doing this season with their new coordinators?
Yeah, to me, this is one of the bigger stories of the season. You have a top team. It's not very often that a top team like this loses both of their coordinators this season. Obviously, Mike Zimmer and Jay Gruden were a big part of their top success. I believe the defense can still hold its own. They have many great players, including Vontae Perfect, Geno Atkins. These are guys that should hold the game together. But I'm not very confident in Andy Dalton. The guy has a lot of talent around him, but he hasn't maximized his potential. And now it's just to bring in a new coach and having a system change it as well.
So another early playoff exit, not making the playoffs with Andy Dalton for the first time. Is it one of those?
They should still make the playoffs, in my opinion. Okay. I think they won't make it as easily as they did last year. Baltimore and Pittsburgh will give them a run for their money. And I think if you flip them over and they were in the NFC, they wouldn't make the playoffs because they are indeed in the AFC. Even if they sneak in as a wild card, if Baltimore or Pittsburgh is to win the division, they should make it in again. But it wouldn't surprise me at least that if they're one and done again in 2014.
Yeah. Okay. I would say that's pretty on par with what I would say at this point too. Cooper, why don't you give our listeners your Twitter account so they can follow you?
Just my name and then the number 47. And it's spelled COOPERALLEN 47. And to get on there, I'll make sure to follow you back. And feel free to hit me up. Let's talk football.
Yeah, Cooper and I love talking football, so we want to hear from you guys. Get to Cooper or me at DMHOLCOMB. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Cooper will stay right with us and we'll make our NFC playoff predictions all the way up to the Super Bowl. Somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. And we're back here on Football Nation's Monday Morning Huddle with your host, Dave Holcomb, and guest star, Cooper Allen. Cooper, I didn't say it before. Thanks for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Dave. Good to be back.
Yeah, we hope to bring you on here a couple of times this year, like last year.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's always a pleasure.
So let's get into our NFC playoff predictions. You want to go, let's go division by division, or do you want to go seed by seed?
Yeah. We can break it down by division.
Okay. Let's start out in the NFC West. That's probably the busiest of the divisions. And, who do you have winning that division crown?
I'm going to have, Seattle coming out on top again. I don't think they'll be as dominant as they were a year ago, but I think they'll win enough games to come out on top as the NFC West champ.
And I know before you said Arizona would be your sixth seed. You have San Francisco making the playoffs as well, or only Arizona? Along with Seattle.
I just have Arizona in that spot, actually. I think San Fran will be in the mix, but there's just with the new field and a couple players getting injured and whatnot, I think they'll slightly just miss out this year.
Wow. That's a pretty big prediction for a team, three straight NFC championship appearances, not going to the playoffs this year.
Team for the past few years, and it'll be a tough team to play again in 2014. But the Cards aren't falling in the right direction for them over the offseason and in the preseason. And this just might be the year where you see the collapse of the 49ers.
I'm getting the same feeling, too. I'm not bold enough like you to say they won't make the playoffs, but I got Seattle winning the division. And I actually have three teams from that division going to the playoffs with the 49ers, my 5 seed, and Arizona, my 6 seed.
Yeah, that's another scenario that's very possible. All three teams have playoff potential. All three teams, I think, if you go going back to last year, top 10 teams in this league. And they all have a shot this year. And to say that they don't have a shot just wouldn't be right to me. All three have solid defenses, and not only do they bring solid defense to the table, but they can also put points on the board. And when you're as well-rounded as that, you saw how that worked out in the Super Bowl last year with Seattle taking a 13. So it may have been more offense-heavy than they were well-rounded.
Well, another division that's kind of surprising that they like to score points too, the NFC North. It's cold up there playing in Green Bay and Chicago, but they've gotten away from playing really hard defense and scoring points. So who do you have winning the NFC North this year?
I really like the NFC North this year. There's a lot of talent in that division. And it should be a very fun one to watch. I have Green Bay coming out on top again for the fourth consecutive year. They made the playoffs last year, despite losing Aaron Rodgers for 7 games. So with them healthy, they should be right back in the mix and are another team that could compete for even potentially a Super Bowl appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Green Bay is a team that I always end up picking. I'm going in a different direction this year. I'm going to take Chicago. I like the additions they've made to their defense, particularly their defensive line, hasn't looked all that great yet in the preseason, but I think they'll get it together and play some better defense than they did last year. It's pretty atrocious at times in 2013. And remember, Jay Cutler, even though Josh McCown came in and played very well, Cutler missed part of last year. If Cutler can stay healthy, the Bears have a very similar case to be made that they can be better than they were because they missed their quarterback last year, just like the Packers can make that case.
Oh, for sure. That's Chicago's another team that is definitely tough to bet against. I have them as my 5th seed.
Okay.
Because, as you mentioned, Cutler, if he can stay healthy, will be a big boost for this offense. And there's just too many weapons on this team to go against them.
Yeah, we brought up the fantasy value of Andre Ellington. Talk about the fantasy value of the Chicago Bears. I mean, they have two giants at wide receiver, and Matt Forte really should be ranked in the top 4 running backs, which is unbelievable because he's been around for so long.
Yeah, definitely. I love Matt Forte going into this year. Like Ellington, he's a guy that is a dual threat running back. And he can pretty much do it all, and he will give you your points consistently every single week.
Now, the NFC East, a division that always seems to be up for grabs, but you know what? This year, I think it's pretty clear who the winner is going to be. The second half of last season, the Eagles came on really strong, kind of when that kind of started when Nick Foles took over the starting role. The Eagles have looked pretty good in preseason, and if you don't mind me going first for this one, Cooper, I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles to win that division hands down, and I don't have any other teams from that division going to the playoffs.
It's hard to give you a top pick. Obviously, Philadelphia played a lot better than the rest of the teams in their division last year. But I'm actually going to go with a different pick than that. And just to switch things up, I'm going to argue that the Giants could win their division. Their defense got better over the offseason by adding Dominic Rodgers-Camardi and Jamil McClain. And history says that Eli Manning should bounce back this year. In three seasons, he's thrown more than 20 interceptions, or at least 20 interceptions in three seasons in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the two seasons prior to 2013, where he threw at least 20 interceptions, the next year he bounced back to have a great year. So if he can have a great year and do well with the offense, with the upgrades made to the defense, they have a shot at taking the division.
Yeah, you can never count the Giants out, and they always seem to come on strong, and at least the years they won the Super Bowl, they'd come on strong and win the division at 9-7 or 10-6 and then go on a run. But I'm just concerned that Eli Manning won't get a hold of the new offense with Ben McAdoo. He seems to be really struggling so far in every facet. He just doesn't look comfortable back there in the new system. Right. Well, you know, we always come back and listen to this episode of Monday Morning Huddle and laugh a little bit because our predictions are normally wrong. So I could be wrong, and your Giants, even though they don't look too good right now, maybe that'll be a great pick in a couple months.
Hindsight's 2020. I'm sure you can go back and three-point articles from any website. And that's the hard part about doing predictions.
Yeah.
You're never going to get every single prediction right.
Right, you're right. Well, that's the fun part of doing the predictions.
Yeah, if any writer anywhere got every single prediction right, they'd be making a lot of money. So,
well, that's the idea, right? We're trying to make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's easier said than done, right?
Right, yes, yeah, much easier said than done. We got one division left, the NFC South. The Carolina Panthers surprised and won this division last year. It always seems to be the team that finishes last in this division comes up and wins it, right? That was a long streak of this division happening in this division where a last place team would come up and win it. I don't know if that's still or if that's still a current streak. But anyway, who do you have winning the NFC South? Do the Panthers stay up top there? You have the New Orleans Saints, who are obviously a wild card team, but you have Tampa Bay coming up with a new head coach, and Atlanta Falcons still have a pretty potent offense.
Overall, I have the Saints coming out on top. I like what some of the teams in this division have done. Lovie Smith in Tampa Bay. I'll be very interested in watching them this year to see how they do. And like you said, Atlanta's got a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. But I think there's too many question marks with teams like Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. So Drew Brees is a safe pick, and that's who I'm rolling with for that division.
Yeah, I'm not going to stray away from that pick. I guess I'm a little less bold than you. I'm picking the Saints as well. For every reason you just said, Drew Brees, it's hard to count him out. And I don't see the Panthers repeating that special season they had last year. And the 49ers in the playoffs really showed the weaknesses of the Carolina Panthers, and they lost, I think, every wide receiver on that team, at least the top two. So they are going to take a step back. Tampa Bay will be interesting. I don't know if they're ready to make a playoff run or a playoff appearance. And the Falcons, I got to see a little bit more from their defense before I put them back in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The Falcons, as you mentioned, with the last place team going back in the first, they do have the potential to do that. But that defense is one of the big question marks I was talking about. It's just, it worries me. And as an Atlanta Falcons fan, if I were one of them, I would definitely be scared heading into 2014 having to go up against Drew Brees and Cam Newton again.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're going to be in a lot of high-scoring affairs, which, you know what? For fantasy owners that have Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, they'll like that because the Falcons are going to have to score a lot of points to win.
Yeah, that's a great thing about the NFC South. It's just like the North, both those divisions are two high-scoring divisions, and pretty much any player you pick on any of those eight teams is bound to get 2 points consistently. And it's always, even if they don't consistently get 2 points, there'd be 1 or 2 weeks where, like, 100, 150 yards, a couple touchdowns, and you might win your matchup because of a player on one of those teams.
We're here with Football Nation reporter Cooper Allen dissecting the NFC playoff picture, making our predictions for the 2014 season. Cooper, did you make seeds for the division winners? Did you seed those four teams?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. Give us your seeds and then your winners for the wild card games and then so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I've got Chicago, they'd be the fifth seed, and winning over the Giants, the NFC's champion. I have Green Bay as the 3 seed, taking down the Cardinals as the 6 seed, setting up a matchup of Chicago at Seattle and Green Bay at New Orleans.
So Seattle and New Orleans, you're 1 and 2 seeds?
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I got the exact same thing. I got those teams taking the byes with Philadelphia, my NFC East champ, the 3 seed taking on Arizona, the 6 seed. I'm going to give the Eagles the edge in that one. And then my other wild card game, Chicago winning the NFC North, the 4 seed hosting the San Francisco 49ers. That'll be a fun game. Old-time rivalry from the 80s, and I got San Francisco winning another road playoff game.
Yeah, they could definitely make a run like that, and it would not surprise me at all because they're a team that could end up going 9-7 and missing the playoffs, or they're a team that could go 11-5, grab a wild card, and end up in the Super Bowl, at least with the conference championship game yet again.
For the next round, who do you got winning and in the NFC championship?
This may surprise some people, but I've got Green Bay over New Orleans and Chicago upsetting number 1 seed Seattle to make an all NFC North conference championship game like Green Bay and Chicago.
Wow, interesting. Interesting. Okay. Rematch of the 2010 NFC Championship.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we differ on this case. I have Seattle. I've already eliminated Chicago. So the 49ers are going to go into Seattle again for the division round. I set that up on purpose, Cooper. I want to see those two teams play each other 3 times again. Those are always fun games. And I have the Seahawks winning again. And in the other division round, Eagles are going to go visit the Saints this year, which, if you remember, that was a playoff game we got last year as well in the wild card round with the Saints winning on the road. I'm going to pick the Eagles to go into New Orleans, into the Big Easy, and upset the number two seed. I know that's probably my boldest prediction so far, but I'm going to have the Eagles and Seahawks in the NFC Championship. And I'm actually going to pick Seattle to go back to the Super Bowl to beat the Eagles. I really like the Philadelphia squad this year, Cooper, but I think they're going to fall just short, a little short on their defense. If they can improve that next year, they could definitely be a Super Bowl pick for somebody. But I like Seattle a lot. You mentioned they're not going to be as dominating. Maybe not, but I still think they have enough to get to the Super Bowl.
At this point in the year, they still have that great defense. Russell Wilson's still the top 15 quarterback, and Marshawn Lynch is going to be there. They did lose Golden Tate, but they're still going to be one of the premier teams in this league and could very well end up back in the Super Bowl.
So who wins your NFC Championship between the all-NFC North teams?
I have Green Bay taking down Chicago. And the Packers going back to the Super Bowl.
Wow, okay. Yeah, like I said, I always seem to pick Green Bay, or I've been counting on Aaron Rodgers to get back to the Super Bowl really ever since that 2010 championship they won, but it hasn't happened. Maybe this is the year, but it hasn't happened yet for me. Though this will be the year, though, because I didn't pick them.
Yeah, it's... I believe I picked them last year, and... About a year ago, we did a similar show where I took them to the Super Bowl, thinking that Rodgers and Lacy would be great together. But Rodgers ended up getting hurt. They got an unfavorable matchup in the playoffs. And it just kind of went downhill from there. So hopefully with a healthy Rodgers and a healthy Eddie Lacy, the two of them can wreak havoc. And I'd love to see them back
for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, historic franchise. I'd say a likable franchise, unless you're a Bears fan, and a team that is fun to see in the playoffs very routinely because they're there a lot.
No, for sure, yeah. It's hard to cheer against them, at least, like you said, unless you're a Bears fan, that would be pretty easy to cheer against them.
Right, yeah, right. Well, once again, Cooper, thank you very much for coming on the show. Can you come on next week for the AFC predictions?
Yeah, I'd love to. Looking forward to getting back on there and finishing up the predictions with you.
Great, yeah. So stay tuned for next week's predictions, listeners. We'll have Cooper back on, and we'll dissect the entire AFC with our division winners, wild card picks, and then our seeds and playoff predictions all the way up to the Super Bowl. And I got the Seahawks from the NFC. Cooper's got the Packers. So after we pick the AFC winner, then we'll then make our predictions for the Super Bowl. And I'll have to remind you, Cooper, that somehow, as bad as I am at making predictions, last year, if you go back and listen to our prediction show, I picked the Seahawks over the Broncos in August.
Yeah, I don't think I ever gave you the props you deserve for that pick. And when you made the pick at the time, I wasn't really sure. I was hoping against it, just being a Cardinals fan, not wanting the Seahawks to win.
Right, yeah.
But you really nailed that pick, so good on you.
Well, I don't deserve any props. It was complete luck. But I'm gonna, you know, bring it up several more times before the season, just because it's never gonna happen again. I gotta milk this as much as possible.
I don't blame you at all.
Well, again, Cooper, thank you very much for coming on the show. That was Football Nation reporter Cooper Allen. We'll be back after this break with our third and long segment.
yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly.
Normally I like to play, you know, upbeat, happy music. Music that's going to keep our listeners into the show and the energy level high. But that was a fitting song, I think, for what the next segment is going to be about. And which, by the way, before we get to that next segment, again, thank you, Cooper, for coming on the show. I've listened to the playback a little bit from the interview here before finishing up the recording. And I hope that the listeners can or were able to hear you all right, Cooper. Maybe my phone is finally dying as it approaches half a decade in age. I remember last year we did the same thing with my phone on speaker and recording into the computer. Maybe we'll have to come up with a new method because I'm not sure how well the sound quality is for you and the listeners. But hopefully they were able to hear you all right. It's not too muffled. And again, thanks for coming on the show. I look forward to next week. And also, one other mistake, if you will, the muffling sound, one. Second one, I keep calling this part of the show, at least last week and this week, I've been calling it the third and long segment. I don't know where I'm getting that. It is not the third and long segment. It is fourth and long, because you don't punt on third down. How does that make any sense? It's fourth and long. You either grunt or you punt, not third and long. Anyway, we played the sad song. I think it's a little sad. Called Yesterday from the album Help. That's the album the three songs are from today by the Beatles. Because this next segment gonna be about three things that, if you were those three people or four people, there's two people in one of the scenarios, you would be pretty upset. Let's start with what really was the breakout news this week, the biggest story of the week, at least the biggest story off the field, away from actual football X's and O's, and that was the Steelers running backs getting arrested for marijuana possession, and in one case, DUI for driving under the influence of marijuana. And those two running backs, Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount. I'm going to go in a different direction for my statement here in the fourth and long segment. I will discuss what I think about the two running backs, but I'm sure that is a given. But my statement is going to be about Mike Tomlin. Lots of experts were critical of the decision Tomlin made in allowing Bell and Blount. That's not a pun, folks. That's his actual last name. The guy was arrested for marijuana, and his last name is Blount. Anyway, couldn't resist that one. Tomlin let Blount and Bell play Thursday night's preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Lots of people, experts, felt like the two running backs shouldn't be allowed to play. Tomlin should make a statement and force the two running backs to sit out. So my statement, Mike Tomlin made a wrong decision in allowing those running backs to play last week in week three of the preseason. Punting it away. How can you be so stupid, first of all, for getting arrested for smoking marijuana in public in your own car? If you're going to smoke marijuana, which is not a good idea to begin with when you're an NFL player. It's not, okay? This segment, we're not going to get into the legality of marijuana, which it isn't legal in Pennsylvania. That has no bearing in this argument. It doesn't matter if it's legal or not, or if you think it should be legal or not in the state of Pennsylvania. The fact is, it's not legal to smoke in the NFL.
And again, that is another argument that we've had on podcasts and on shows that I've been on about whether or not NFL law can supersede state law. But the fact is, at this moment, it does. And if you get caught with marijuana, whether you're in Seattle, in Washington State, or in Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania, you're going to get in trouble with the NFL. And you're going to let your team down, which is exactly what Bell and Blunt did. The focus should be on them. So I know I digressed with that rant a little bit from my statement. But that's what the focus should be on. Mike Tomlin's decision to let them play in itself was actually part of the punishment. Playing in preseason, when you're a player that's already going to make the roster, Bell is going to be on the roster. Of course he's going to be on the roster. Blunt is going to be on the roster. They don't need to play in preseason. By Tomlin sitting them out, it gives them a day off. It gives them a few days off. I wouldn't want to give somebody who broke the law, broke NFL law, and is putting himself in a situation where he might miss a regular season game or multiple regular season games, a day off. I would not give that person a free pass and a vacation for a long weekend. Didn't deserve it. It's a sticky situation if you're Mike Tomlin. No matter what he does, he was wrong. That's why the focus should not be on Tomlin and his mistake. He didn't make a mistake here. Bell and Blunt were arrested. I don't know what else Tomlin could have done to make the situation better. He was dealt the hand that he got. He didn't go and get arrested. He didn't endorse Bell or anything like that. So the focus really, in my mind, should be on the running backs that made the mistake. Now, there is a good chance they're not going to be suspended this year. They might have to wait a year for the courts to first make their ruling, and then the NFL would step in and put in a possible suspension. Also, neither one of these guys have broken any laws in the past. So that is working in their favor. Blunt has had issues on the field with punching people, at least in college. But in terms of breaking the law, Bell and Blunt have never done that. Which, by the way, I should bring up. I know last week I mentioned I started my new job at the sports network covering fantasy sports and fantasy football, obviously one of our biggest things that we talk about and write about. I wrote an article about Bell and Blunt, and I'm very proud of it. I think it's my best article so far for the Sports Network in my first week. And I encourage you guys to check it out. You can find it on my Twitter or find it on the Sports Network fantasy page. Staying in the AFC North, Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, announced his starting quarterback for week one. This was a topic we had in our fourth and long segment last week, and I had major problems with what Pettine was doing, and I'm going to have major problems with it again. I initially liked the decision to make Hoyer the starting quarterback, which I guess I should say my statement first, that Pettine made the right decision, and I'm going to agree and grunt on that one and say, yes, Hoyer should be the starter. I'm a little bit surprised that he is, although maybe not all that surprised after how poorly Manziel played and acted on Monday night against the Washington Redskins last week. But since then, he's also played a third preseason game and played much better. But the problems that I have with Pettine now this week, had problems with it last week. Now, the new issue I have with him is on Friday, on satellite radio, he went on and said he might use a two-quarterback system. Now, if I had a statement on that, if we made that the statement here in this fourth and long segment, what do you think about, or is the two quarterback system a good idea? Absolutely not. No, it's terrible. It's an awful idea even to bring it up. Unless he's bluffing, which he could be, I don't see the point in saying to a radio station that you're thinking about using a two quarterback system. It's been proven time and time again that using two quarterbacks, having the time split, ruins both quarterbacks' rhythm and gives you a split locker room, which is what Pettine was trying to avoid by saying Hoyer was the starter from the beginning. And then, he had to name him the starter last week because of all the controversy that, to be honest, I felt like he created. He helped create, anyway. The media did the rest. So, I don't know what Pettine is doing. I understand Manziel is the future of that franchise. And he very well could be the starter by week five. And by week five, I probably wouldn't have a problem with Manziel being the starter, especially if Cleveland is 0-3 and Hoyer is not playing that well. But to me, Pettine is not giving Hoyer a fair chance to actually show what he can do at the NFL level. Sure, Hoyer is a veteran in this case. He's in his late 20s. He's been around the block. This is now his third NFL team. He got to start a little bit last year, so we kind of know what he has to offer. But I don't see the point in starting Hoyer unless you're actually going to give him a fair chance to actually succeed. If you're not going to give him a fair chance to succeed, then start Manziel. And again, I know that Manziel is the future. I don't think for one second that if Hoyer plays well and continues to play well, that he can hold off Manziel forever at that starting position. The Browns traded up to get Manziel for a reason. He is their guy. But I don't see the point in not allowing Hoyer to thrive and be successful if he is truly your number one quarterback. I really believe Pettine is way over his head in this entire situation, and we'll continue to monitor it here on Monday Morning Huddle. My last statement today comes from a story that broke just today. Last night, Sam Bradford left the St. Louis Rams' third preseason game. It looked like he may have suffered a knee injury on a light hit from Cleveland's Armonte Bryant, and it was a serious knee injury. Sam Bradford is out for the 2014 season after an MRI disclosed he tore his ACL in his left knee, the same knee that he tore his ACL in last season. So my statement, Bradford has had a lot of issues both on and off the field in terms of trying to be healthy and remaining on the field. Is he done as a Ram? I'm grunting on that and saying yes, he is. It might be a better statement or question to say, is his career over? And maybe he can catch on somewhere as a backup. But in terms of being a starter, in terms of trying to be a franchise quarterback for these St. Louis Rams, it's over. It's done. I don't know really what else to say. It's such a shame, and all my thoughts go out to Bradford as he's going to undergo another surgery and more than likely undergo more physical therapy to try and come back and be a quarterback again in the NFL and be a player again. But it just is so disheartening to see this guy go through this again. And it's just incredible it's happening to the same guy, to the same knee, in less than a 12-month span. One thing Bradford does have going for him, his contract includes one more year, the 2015 season, and he's getting paid a lot of money, close to $13 million next season. Football contract's not guaranteed. There's a chance that the Rams maybe cut him They're already paying Bradford $50 million guaranteed, but maybe they just cut ties with him before the contract is up, just 1 year left on the deal. I don't know. That would be speculation on my part to say that. He's also only 26 years old. He has that going for him as well. It's not like this guy is 28, 29, or 30. So he's hypothetically has plenty of years left in him. But I just don't know how much longer the Rams can count on him to be the guy, to be the franchise quarterback, to be the future. Especially if you're a guy like Jeff Fisher, who's now been head coach for a few years now. Fisher is obviously a proven coach in the league, but generally around year three, year four, you got to start seeing results. And Fisher's in a tough spot in a tough division and doesn't have a franchise quarterback. That is a spell for disaster for any head coach. I don't care how good you are. So Bradford may be in Rams camp next year. I don't know how much they can count on him to play and be healthy. It might be time for the Rams to finally move forward with somebody else, whether or not Bradford is on the roster next year. We got one more Beatles song for you today. I promise this one will be a little bit more chippier. When we come back, I'll give you a few articles to read that I liked this week on Football Nation, and then we'll wrap up today's show. Welcome back to Football Nation's Monday Morning Huddle. Your host, Dave Holcomb. Don't forget, I want to hear from you. Send me a tweet, DM, HOLCOMB, or an email, holcombmdavid@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Dave's Football News. We'll be back with Cooper Allen next week. I hope you all tune into that. In the meantime, three articles that I want you to check out that are on Football Nation this week. My favorite one, this is one of the best articles on the site I've read in a long time, by Jeff Blevins, Changing Landscape, Why the NFL Should Be Afraid. A lot of the stuff he argues I completely agree with, and in one way or another I've brought it up on this show or have brought it up in my own writing. So he probably puts it much more simply in his article and lays it out very nicely with some nice pictures, and it's a very good piece. I recommend everyone to read that one. And then two other ones by longtime writers on the site. Daniel Hutchinson, I haven't seen his name pop up in a while, but he's been a longtime writer for Football Nation down in Florida, writing about his Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he makes the argument why signing Josh McCown was a bad idea. And then the veteran David Levin, I think he has the most articles written up on Football Nation or posted on Football Nation, and his latest one entitled Blake Broyles, The Real Reason He Will Not Start for the Jaguars. So check out all three of those. Until next week, I'm going to go try and find some peace in my mind.